Hello and welcome to Some Will Rise. I'm Roshan Mohammed Saleh. Israel champions itself as the only democracy in the Middle East and claims to treat all of its citizens equally and fairly. Of course, Palestinians have long disputed that claim, and as recent news reports illustrate, even fellow Jews from Ethiopia are now protesting against the regime's brutality and racism. 135,000 Ethiopian Jews live in Israel, and they've long complained about unfair treatment and police violence. There have also been some disturbing reports of Israeli attempts to sterilize Ethiopian women to decrease their numbers, and over 40% of Ethiopian men serving in the Israeli army have been sent to military prisons during their service. On today's show, we'll be shedding the spotlight on Israel's internal racism towards fellow Jews, as well as other minorities seen as outsiders by a mostly European Zionist elite. But first, here's a report on Israeli racism by Mona Kandil in the West Bank.
Ethiopian Jews in Israel held several rallies against Israeli police brutality and racism last month. The Ethiopian Jewish community has been outraged after a video emerged showing Israeli police officers assaulting and brutally beating an Israeli soldier of Ethiopian origin. The Jewish Ethiopians, who are a minority in Israel, are not the only community being discriminated. Palestinians who are still living in the lands occupied in 1948 and make up 20% of Israel's population are effectively second-class citizens and continue to suffer under Israel's discriminatory policies.
We have warned in the past that Israel's discriminatory policy against us, the Arabs, will be adopted against minorities in Israel like the Jews of Ethiopian origin. There's an official Israeli policy of racism against the Arabs living in the areas occupied in 1948. This policy is not new. It started with the Nakba catastrophe. Discrimination is seen in all aspects of life.
Observers say that racism and violence have been at the core of Tel Aviv's policies and culture, which are based on larger colonial and settler projects. The Palestinians have long complained of racism, which is already a reality on the street, in both law and at the heart of the political system, where they are denied their basic rights.
It's a racist community in Israel, not only on the official level, but in the street. Demonstrations will always go on against the Israeli discriminatory measures. However, I don't expect major change in the policies of the current Israeli regime, because unfortunately, this one is the most extremist in the history of Israel.
The Israeli measures against the Palestinians aim at forcing us to leave our land. It's apartheid in all aspects of life. The Israeli regime continues to approve illegal discriminatory laws that are only applied to the Palestinians.
In addition, millions of Palestinians in the occupied West Bank face systematic aggression, including home demolitions, under the pretext of a lack of building licenses. Palestinians are arrested on a daily basis and imprisoned without charge or trial. They are denied the freedom of movement as well as freedom of speech, and any of them could be murdered by Israeli soldiers for taking part in popular protests. Without serious opposition and pressure from the so-called international community, Tel Aviv will continue its discriminatory policies towards Arab and African communities, especially while Israel sees itself as an entity above the law, protected by its ally in Washington. For the Sun Will Rise, this is Mona Kandil, occupied Ramallah.
To discuss Israeli racism, we have two guests in the studio with us today. Gilad Atzmon is an ex-Israeli who's now a fierce critic of the Zionist state. He's also a famous British jazz artist and author who writes on political matters, social issues, and Jewish identity and culture. And Frank Gehly is an Anglican priest and cultural critic and commentator. He was formerly a journalist in Italy and England. Thank you very much for coming in today, both of you guys. Gilad, if I can start with you. So help us to understand this. Why is Israeli society so racist towards a fellow Jewish group?
It is quite simple. Israel is a multi-layered society. It's a very hierarchic society. And it is the level of whiteness that would determine your status within society. At the very top, we find the East European Jews, the Ashkenazi Jews, not even the Western European Jews. We are really talking about East European. And then we find what they called pure Sephardis, which are
Arab Jews.
They're basically Arab Jews who lived in Palestine before Zionism.
So they come next.
And then we see the Iraqi Jews, the Moroccan Jews, different level of different type of Arab Jews. The Palestinians, as we learned in the report, are second class citizens. In fact, they're not second class citizens. They are eight or nine. They are many, many groups of Jews who are coming ahead of them, ahead of the Palestinians, and they come as something
separate. So you're saying that the Ethiopian Jews are classed even below the Palestinians?
And this is a very big question. You know, where are who is, and then at the bottom, at the very bottom, you have all those new immigrants, the Israeli call them infiltrators. People have illegal immigration from Africa and so on and so on. So it's a very multi-layered society defined by a very hierarchic, basically white supremacist all the way through. Now, it is very clear that Arab Jews... And it is easy to explain sociologically. Arab Jews are actually very offensive towards Palestinians, in spite of the fact that they are themselves Arab. They listen to Kultum, because they want to differentiate themselves from the Palestinians and to identify with the white class upper.
Well, I guess Zionism is originally a Western ideology, isn't it? So maybe it's not all that surprising that there is this element of white supremacy within Israeli society itself. Frank, what do you make of all this?
It's interesting that the Ethiopian Jews actually were celebrated as a great success story by the State of Israel when they were lifted from Sudan, actually, where they'd gone to escape the civil war in Ethiopia, into Israel, and it was supposed to be the promised land. But in fact, it turned out to be less than the promised land. And now they find themselves discriminated against and treated in abysmal ways. I mean, even their blood donors, they discovered the blood donated by Ethiopian Jews was actually destroyed, which caused great offense.
And these are guys that serve in the Israeli army as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, you could say Palestinians, they might not actually want Israel to exist, but these guys actually, they're rooting for Israel. Yeah,
indeed. And the Ethiopians are quite a warlike people. Mm. So they belong to a minority, the Falasha minority, but they actually share in the national ethos of the Ethiopians, who are great fighters. So, I mean, obviously, the sad thing is that they were discriminated against back in Ethiopia, and now they're acting in the Israeli army, the role of, not a very pleasant role towards the Palestinians.
Okay, all right. All right, we're going to pick this discussion up in a few minutes' time, but we're going to go to a report now. We've been casting our eye on some of the latest events in Palestine, and we've also been tracking the social media response to them. So here's Camelia Shambayati with a roundup.
Hi, and welcome to our social media roundup. Now, the question of whether Black Lives Matter in Israel has been a controversial topic. Let's check out a few Facebook comments. Noel from the US says, "Of course they don't. Israel is a racist entity by design. Look at how they segregate and treat Palestinians. Can't say I'm at all surprised they have problems of racism among their own." Interesting parallel there. And Shiho from Japan simply says, "Do Black Lives Matter anywhere?" And if we look at one more comment, Jean from the US says, "The truth is, Israel is an apartheid nation against its own people and to the Palestinians. Israel has a long history of discriminating against Jews who are not of Eastern European descent." Moving on now, a shocking video has surfaced of Israeli soldiers beating a Palestinian man in a protest against illegal settlements in the Palestinian refugee camp of Jalazon. He managed to stand his ground for a considerable amount of time until it took several soldiers to arrest him, after which they still continued to beat him. And finally, a video produced by the Israeli regime's Foreign Affairs Department has backfired. The anti-Hamas video depicts journalists covering Israel's brutal assault on Gaza last summer as naive and uninformed. The video has been branded bizarre, misleading, and poorly conceived by the Foreign Press Association, with even Western media outlets blasting the video. And that's all the social media news I have for you this time. Please do check out our social media pages, either on Twitter or Facebook, to keep up with the latest on the show.
So I just want to ask you a few more questions about the Ethiopian Jews, and then perhaps we can widen this discussion out to other minorities that Israel kind of discriminates against. Gilad, I just want to understand from my own, you know, kind of erudition. Are they accepted? Are the Falasha Ethiopian Jews accepted as Jews by mainstream Israeli society?
You know, this is a very difficult question. They are definitely accepted enough to die for Israel in Gaza. Apparently, their blood is not accepted. The women are sterilized, which is devastating. And you ask yourself why. When we come to these questions, you know, the first question that I ask myself is, how is it possible that a state that defines itself as a Jewish state behave in such a manner towards people who were supposed to be Jews?
But they were brought to Israel originally. I mean, am I wrong in saying it wasn't a gesture of solidarity towards fellow Jews, but more to just demographically boost Israel?
An interesting question. Jews in Israel would like to see Israel remaining a Jewish state, so they would hope to bring as many people who identify as Jews to live there. When this doesn't work, they bring some goyim, Gentiles, from ex-USSR, from Russia.
If you have a Jewish grandparent,
you know, it's not a problem. You know, we have some stories about native Indians from South America that were brought to Israel as long as they convert and never come back. We have to look at these issues from Jewish perspectives. And I do believe that racism is definitely embedded within the tribal understanding of secular Jewishness post-emancipation. And this is a very... I must ask you,
because, I mean, Netanyahu himself condemned the video. Action was taken against the soldiers who beat up that Ethiopian soldier. They say that this is a disgrace towards Israel. What do you say to that?
It is very interesting again, because I think that what we see is a dialectic relationship. It's not that Israel is purely racist, and it's not that it is anti-racist. It is a society that tries to deal with its own demons. The more Zionist you are, the more you are willing, and Netanyahu, by the way, you know, due to his family history, was brought up as a proper Zionist. The more Zionist you are, or Zionist-oriented you are, the more you are willing to admit the demons within Jewish culture. Okay. We have to remember that this is what Zionism. Zionism was brought to the world as an attempt, was introduced as an attempt to recover the Jews, to make them into civilized human beings. And Netanyahu is aware of it.
Okay. Frank, I want to bring you in, because I want to widen it out a little bit now. Obviously, this is kind of a way of talking about the wider discrimination that exists in Israel. I want to talk about Christians now, especially. Tell me about Palestinian Christians.
Before that, I only wanted briefly to say that Netanyahu, yes, he apologized and embraced this cyber-victimized soldier, but 5 years ago, he said publicly that African immigrants were a threat to the identity of the Israeli state. So, you know, he's not really in a position to preach.
Christians.
He was talking about African immigrants.
Okay.
African immigrants. So even in connection with the Falasha, even in connection with the Ethiopians, he has a bad conscience. But now, to answer your question, the Latin Patriarch in Jerusalem, representing the Catholic community, said before the visit of Pope Francis last year that Christians in Israel feel neither safe nor protected. Mm. Neither safe nor protected, especially at the hands of far-right extremist settlers in the West Bank, but all over Israel, in Jerusalem as well. There have been many incidents of they scrolled over a Vatican church, Jesus is a monkey. They scroll things like that. In other cases, we had personal physical attacks. A large number of New Testaments were burned, were torched in public.
Right.
And these examples could be multiplied, but also cases of more pervasive and institutional attacks on Christians. For example, the Christians...
Briefly, Frank.
Yeah. They were forced to the parliament as identify them as a distinct minority, which sounds good, but in fact, you know, separate them from fellow Palestinians.
Okay. All right. OK, we're going to conclude this discussion, gentlemen, in a few minutes' time, but we're going to move on yet again. Recently, the National Union of Students here in the UK voted to boycott Israel. But as Camelia Shambayati reports, it's going to be tough to persuade British universities to follow through on that vote.
Earlier this month, Britain's leading student body managed to provoke Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as the National Union of Students voted in favour of supporting the growing boycott, divestment and sanctions campaign against Israel. Though mainly symbolic, it is still an achievement for the BDS movement.
BDS is growing more and more, and Israel does feel threatened, and it feels that it is becoming more under pressure, because injustice cannot just keep happening without a reaction from justice believers.
Even the people here in London, UK, wherever, they feel like they are contributing to, in some small way, to the cause, and I think that's important.
Although the student union at the SOAS London University backed BDS in a referendum landslide in February, one of the student activists told me that despite the apparent victory, it will be a struggle to make the university comply.
We had this campaign at SOAS, and we had a referendum that passed with 73% of yes, and we are really happy about it, but I think it's going to be difficult to implement it, because of course there will be a lot of pressure. But we will keep going on, and I think the whole movement is growing.
The BDS movement says that it is spreading and having a significant impact on Israel's occupation, colonization, and apartheid policies, and aims to push even further into the mainstream to entrench Israel's pariah status.
Frank, just to kind of pick up from where we were left off before that report, Christians are badly treated in Palestine. In Israel. We kind of agree on that. Yet Christians, or some Christians around the world, seem to be quite staunch supporters of Israel.
You probably have in mind the so-called Christian Zionists in the United States, who are, in my opinion, neither Christians, not very Christian, not very Zionists. They're not the real Zionists, they're not really.
Yeah.
Because they really are a minority of people. Because the Roman Catholic Church, the mainline Protestant churches, have dissociated themselves from them.
Okay.
So in that sense, they are just giving a bad name to Christianity. How fiendishly clever the Zionists have been in getting these dumb Christians to embrace their own cause. They're really fiendishly
clever. I don't know what the Christian equivalent of a fatwa is, but I just wonder whether you could give us a Christian fatwa. I mean, if you're a Christian, can you support Israel?
I mean, I'm not in a position, you would need a general council of a church, but the World Council of Churches, way back when it declared, for example, apartheid, a heresy, could, in theory, declare Zionism.
Oh, that'd be wonderful,
wouldn't it? But, I mean, I think religious Zionism is, political Zionism, religious Zionism are two different things, in a way. I think that what we go here is, and of course, as you know, the United Nations, way back in the 70s, declared Zionism a racist ideology.
Yeah.
It was only revoked in 2001 after the fall of the Soviet Union when the political landscape is
It's all politics,
shaped.
Isn't it? Gilad, I want to conclude this discussion. How does wider Israeli society view this? Have you been keeping up with it? I mean, is there a lot of sympathy for the Ethiopian Jews within Israel at street level?
I don't have any measures that I can point out on. Obviously, some people are devastated to find out how racist they happen to be. And this is very natural. I think that if you really want to conclude what is happening here, and it is not just the Ethiopian, we just spoke about Palestinians and Christian Palestinians. Yes. We are dealing with, within the Israeli society, of an hierarchy of whiteness. Mm. And then, on top of that, we see a very deep sense of goy hatred, that this is something that comes...
Goy, you mean like
goy,
non, non-Jew.
Gentile, sorry, non-Jew. Yeah, yeah, goy hatred, Gentile hatred, that is something that is, unfortunately, an heritage of Judaism. Now, within the Judaic school, within the rabbinical school, they were very clever. They knew how to sustain it. You know, they were living in ghettos. Once this state became, you know, a kind of a sovereign state, and it had to deal with other communities like African communities, Palestinian, Christian Palestinian, and so on and so on. We see an explosive level of hatred toward otherness, and this is something that it is at the core of our understanding of this culture.
Frank, you'd like to come in there?
To be fair, Gilad, I respect your point of view because in a way you're an insider, or you were an insider. But I know lots of enlightened liberal rabbis who would not go along with that.
No, but I just said that within the rabbinical societies, they managed to restrain. They knew how to deal with this.
I think many are sincere. I mean, I have no reason to doubt it, because unless charitably, you've got to assume sincerity. If you imagine everybody's a liar or deceiver, then it's a very bad world.
We agree about it. What I'm saying is that there wasn't an issue, an apparent political or social conflict between rabbinical Jews and their surrounding environment.
But in Israel,
we see it on an everyday basis.
But didn't you say before, Gilad, that everything that we're seeing playing out today is a manifestation of secular Judaism, not religious Judaism?
Yeah, and this is exactly the issue. When the Jews left the ghetto, when we witnessed the process of emancipation, we see something that comes from the Judaic heritage, you know, this exclusiveness, the chosenness, and it turned into a very, very ugly phenomenon. And this is something that we have to deal with it, but we can only deal with it if we admit to ourselves that this is the Jewish tribal identity.
In 20 seconds, Frank, any thoughts?
Rabbi Adin Steinhaus, who was an Orthodox Israeli rabbi, gave a speech in Oxford 7 years ago, and what I found very interesting, he attacked the idolatry of present Western society. And I felt myself, hey, this guy is speaking for me as well.
Okay, all right, sorry, we're going to have to leave it there, guys, because we're already over time, I think. Thanks a lot for coming in today. That is all the time we have for today. Once more, thank you to all our guests, and don't forget to get busy on social media, telling us what you think of the issues raised in this program, please. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next time for more discussion and analysis on Palestine. Bye-bye.